Welcome back to the Mountain West Connection podcast. This is not, I repeat, not a divisional preview. This is an semi-up-to-date recap, meaning not recorded a month in advance, discussing Mountain West Media Days. Our website, if you don't know, mwcconnection.com, Facebook, Twitter, just search Mountain West Connection. You'll find us. Jeremy Moss here hanging out, chatting about, we're going to chat about Media Day. So, hey, Matt, have you found what you're looking for on our website?
Yes, I have.
Good. Yes, Matt Kennerly there. We're going to discuss, like I said, Media Days. And I don't know about you, but this is actually more exciting than the past 2 years of Media Days. Is that safe to say?
Yeah. I mean, it's not just the fact that, you know, there's a couple of teams in the conference that the media seems to think are a pretty good bet to go head-to-head for the conference title this year, which is a good thing.
Yes. You know,
those are two teams that could possibly be vying for the New Year's Bowl game, which is pretty awesome. It's more than you could say 12 months ago. But even beyond that, there was a lot of interesting news on more fronts than I think any of us might have expected.
And Rolo, Nick Rolovich.
Nick Rolovich, the breakout social media star of the conference.
He's the winner of Media Days. No one else comes close. He topped all. We'll get to his stuff, but him and the fake Coach Harsin on Twitter?
Yes.
That was amazing. And so we'll talk about his stuff and get into that. But let's kind of start with what people are probably here for. I guess football talk. We'll get there eventually. But we are about 3 weeks away from week one. But like you said, the two teams, no surprise who you said who are going to go up against each other for the title game, at least. Those media people who don't know much, or people say they don't, but San Diego State, unanimous decision in the West. Boise State, 27 of 29 first place votes. Falcons took the other two. I know a few people wanted Air Force to get a few more votes or thought they would. Do you think that's a fair assessment of how the voting percentage turned out?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's any surprise that San Diego State's pretty clearly the class of the West division. The 22 of 29 for Boise, I guess, did surprise me a little.
27 of 29.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
It surprised me a little bit just because, of course, Air Force is the defending division champion. And they've got, you know, a couple of things that we know are going to probably work for them in their favor this year. We know that the offense they run is probably going to be, you know, fairly explosive. And we know that they have a lot of veterans coming back on defense, which was, if I'm not mistaken, the same defense that really kind of made life miserable for Boise last year.
So, Weston Steelhammer.
Yeah, I mean, not only him, but other guys like, you know, Roland Ladipo, DJ Dunn, Claude Alexander up there in the front seven. So I guess it kind of surprised me a little bit that the Falcons didn't get a little more respect. But I think it was pretty clear that they expect them to be the primary challenger, which, you know, I guess all things considered makes sense to me.
Wait, where's that game being played? Do you have that in front of you?
This year's game is in Colorado Springs.
Okay. So a chance for the Broncos to erase that 7 turnover game a couple years ago.
Well, that and the loss last year, too.
Well, that too, but I think the embarrassment as well. So, yeah, two in a row. Though nobody beats them two in a row. I think, is it San Diego State's the only conference team to beat them back-to-back? Besides Air Force, at least in a long time, I would say.
Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure, but that sounds about right.
Because they beat them on the blue turf, and then Aztecs beat them at home then?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, so not many teams beat them back-to-back, so there's that, and yeah, Colorado Springs, that game was, even though it was still somehow close, that was the year where we got all the crap for how you putting the Rams number one every week in our poll because they kept winning, but they lost to Boise State. But those are good times. We get a lot of interesting feedback. Like we say, what me and Chris says all the time, and you agree, we're biased against every team, right?
Oh, yes.
And so we'll get heat from Rams fans. We'll get heat from Broncos fans. I got heat the other day, which is legitimate for an Aztec fan who I particularly don't care for, and muted them on Twitter. So if they yell at me or the account, I don't see it. But I made a math mistake of my end, which I fixed. So there's some legitimate stuff, but sometimes it's just a sport, guys. Just relax. Have some fun and prove the other people wrong. But let's go back to the West Division. We knew Aztecs would be the unanimous choice. What was your thought about the rest of the six? I thought Nevada and San Jose State. I think they got it right, essentially, going Nevada, San Jose State, rounding out the top three. And then I guess some people, Fresno, UNLV, but...
If I recall...
Yay?
If I recall correctly, I think that between you, me, and Chris, I was the optimist on San Jose State. And I'm pretty sure I was the one that had the Spartans as the primary challenger rather than Nevada. The only other thing I can really say is I was at least, I was a little surprised that Fresno State got a fourth place vote just because of how bad they looked last year. Especially in comparison to the fact that, UNLV, all things considered, was kind of a, building everything from the ground up, but they looked more competitive week in and week out a lot of the times than the Bulldogs did.
That's where you win, darling. Rebels. Yeah.
So I was a little surprised that they didn't get a lot of respect, although, maybe it's just a measure of skepticism, kind of like, okay, maybe you exceeded expectations last year, but this year, you still have something to prove, basically.
They also have a new quarterback, too, so maybe that's why.
Could be.
Because it's going to be likely Johnny Stanton, maybe Kurt Ballendeck, but they don't have Blake Decker anymore. With what he had, he did a good enough job. Like you said, they're competitive in so many games, whereas Fresno, not so much at times. And their quarterback was the turnstile at the amusement park, it seemed like.
Sadly, yes.
Sadly, yes. So on the mountainside, after Air Force, I figured I think those two are fine. I was a toss-up. New Mexico being fifth is perfectly fine, but they could easily win the division this year. Yeah. I said maybe, folks. I said maybe.
It's kind of the same as last year. If things, if each team is able to play to their strengths, there are basically five teams in the Mountain Division that could go claim it. Mm-hmm. Because we know that Air Force has a pretty good defense, but, Utah State, if you were, as you were talking about before, giving them the benefit of the doubt, reloading on that side of the ball, they could have a pretty good defense this year. We talked about New Mexico taking that next step forward on defense and complementing that really explosive offense that they have. Colorado State is kind of up in the air at a couple of critical positions, but, they know how to run the ball more often than not.
You would think Izzy Matthews, if he's the real deal.
Yeah, him and Dalen Dawkins. So, I guess, the order, I'm okay with the order. I'm a little more lukewarm on Utah State than I think most are, and I'm a little higher on Colorado State. I would have probably flipped Colorado State and Utah State, or rather, I think, if I remember correctly, I had Colorado State 3, New Mexico 4, Utah State 5. But, if the division does turn out to look like this, I'm not going to be shocked by it at all.
Yeah, I think Utah State and CSU are the two toughest teams to peg. We'll get to all this more. Probably we're doing more now than we should for a big preview. But if you listen to the Utah State show, I think most people are offense should be better. Defense, wait and see. But history says they'll be fine.
Yeah.
They just may not be elite this year. So let's stick with the Rams. So back a while ago, they brought in, as you discussed, it being a red herring about who's going to start at quarterback. Well, head coach Mike Bobo alluded to maybe three quarterbacks vying for the starting job. Well, I think we can both laugh and say, no, that's not going to happen. Does anything change from what he said about Nick Stevens not being the starter, not being named the starter right now, for him bringing in his own guy from Georgia to and Fatten Bauta to take over the job?
Not really. I mean, but I guess I can't be surprised that, competition is kind of the word of the word of media days, because, we're starting to see the same thing here in Fresno. During that podcast, I thought that Chase and Virgil could and should be the front runner for the starting role. But since that time, they've brought in a graduate transfer too, in former Cal quarterback Zach Klein.
And who apparently played at five different schools.
Yeah, more or less. But there's been a lot of talk about him, being able to have a chance to really the role in fall camp. And, it's a little bit of a different situation because, Virgil got his freshman eligibility back after getting hurt last year. So even if Klein is the starter eventually this year, you know, you still get like 3 more years of Virgil rather than another 2 years or another 1 year.
But, well, with the difference, I think, with these two schools, that Nick Stevens was just after what, a game or two with him and Coleman Key, he was the starter.
And he wasn't bad.
Yeah, he wasn't bad either. And Fresno, the only difference, like, there are a lot of injuries. So we kind of joke about what Aaron Roderick did, switching guys back and forth. Or no, I'm not sure I can get him mixed up. Dave Schramm, excuse me, both were Utah guys at one point. Dave Schramm pulling guys back and forth. That we kind of joke about it, but that's kind of happened. But also a lot of injuries. So the Rams, with Fresno State, yeah, there should be a competition, I think. Mm-hmm. But with the Rams, you had a guy who started, what, 10-plus games and played well and didn't have Rashard Higgins, didn't have this amazing weapon out there, and they still did pretty good. Not great, but his numbers weren't that bad. And so this isn't like me saying back in December when Brian Harsin, the coach at Broncos, blocked me on Twitter because I said, joked about his wink-wink quarterback competition between the Brett Rypien and Ryan Finley, who's now NC State. This is not like that. A little bit, but not quite. It's just, I get competition, but I just don't get the reasoning behind this, besides it being his guy. And it's not like at Fresno, where Virgil will have a couple years. Nick Stevens is a junior. He'll have 1 year after this.
The other big difference, which I hope I'm not getting ahead of myself here, they have a lot more at stake in Fort Collins than they do in a lot of other places this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with all of the talk surrounding CSU as a possible Big 12 candidate, you know, he probably won't come out and say it, but Mike Bobo has a lot at stake trying to figure out who the guy is that can be that guy to lead them to a possible division title. You know, there's a lot of financial incentive for it, which, you know, maybe is not his primary concern, but he wants the guy under center who's going to be able to, you know, run this offense, because the offense is probably going to be the thing that drives their success in 2016. So in that sense, to me, it makes sense, but I would think that Bauta has a lot of work to do to really, usurp Stevens as a starter.
Hey, he was there in spring, did all right, but Bobo does have some more media day stuff came out. His contract as a stipulation in, quote, good faith to renegotiate to go to Big 12 or any Power 5 league. So he has his own incentive there. Besides, it's good to get the exposure and all that type of stuff, but if we're to believe what Dennis Dodd from CBS says and a few other people, he had 3 sources say they want to know before September 2nd, like, get it done, like, who we're bringing in. So division title, get your point. They want to win and impress, but if we're to believe that timeline, it doesn't matter who's going to start because the decision is basically going to be made by non-athletic endeavors for the most part, this year. So
yeah,
it's just an odd situation. I just think it. I don't see the point of, if it's close, which it seems to be close after spring, go with the guy who has more eligibility. Why do you want to go through this again maybe next year? Because Colin Hill is a pretty highly regarded guy himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm thinking. If it's close with Stevens and Bauta, go with Stevens. Give him 2 years. And then you have a guy who played in the SEC for a reasonable amount of time, and or at least backup and experience and knows the system. If something happens to Stevens, you have a guy who's familiar with at least the plays and at least with the team for a couple, however long he's been there. It just seems a little peculiar that he's still sticking with this and then adds, maybe Colin Hill will be the quarterback. Like, really?
Yeah, no. And I mean, that especially makes sense, too, when you consider that a lot of the skill position players around Stevens and Bauta, you know, unless somebody has a really amazing, you know, Rashard Higgins-type year, all of those guys are going to be back for 2017, too. You know, Dawkins mm-hmm. is a junior this year. Izzy Matthews is a sophomore. But even a lot of the receivers, like Xavier Williams is a junior. Ola B.C. Johnson is a sophomore. You know, this is a unit that can grow together. So I don't think it's just lip service that he's saying that there's going to be a competition for the job. I don't quite understand why, considering Stevens' performance last year. But, you know, I think I do understand it, considering all of the circumstances.
I think the main thing comes down to, hey, I know this kid. He might be a good fit.
Yeah,
I think that's if you want to make it super basic, that's probably the reason why he has a shot.
Yeah.
All right. So let's really quick, because we skipped something. So they're all conference teams. As we have said all offseason, even last year, this is, it's not the high-flying passing league. This is the, they'll be on a point score. This is a ground game conference.
Did you see that tweet about that?
I did not. What is it? Let me pull it up here.
I forget who sent it out. It was, I wish I could find it. Maybe we can put it in the show notes, but whatever. But there was a link that the Mountain West as a whole, as college football nationally has gone toward a pass first spread mentality. Mm-hmm. I believe the Mountain West was the only conference in the FBS last year that ran the ball more than it threw it.
Like per play, you mean, or percentage wise, or
just in total plays? I believe that. I think that's what it was. But when you consider the fact that, you know, only the SEC was the other conference last year with 9,000 yard rushers, mm-hmm. you know, that figure makes a lot of sense. And so when you're thinking about this all conference team, it's kind of a crime that they only have two spots for running backs.
Yeah, the Mountain West also had 9 players last year with 1,000 yards rushing. And then that doesn't include Martez Waller, Devontae Mays, who had 920, 966, and Joel Presley, New Mexico, 920. So they had 12 players with 920 or more yards. It's pretty good.
Yeah. So, you know, if we're talking about the all-conference team, who's the one guy that you think is most left out of it?
It has to be, okay, people are going to scream and yell, but it's Jeremy McNichols, I think. I'm not saying he should be in over those guys, but if you're going to make an argument for somebody else, okay, James Butler, very good running back. He 1,300 yards. Paul Harris, Hawaii, I didn't realize he had 1,000 yards. He's not going to get there. Air Force Jacoby Owens, not enough touchdowns. Chase Price is a backup, got 1,000 yards. He's not around. But like Devontae Mays, Jarrell Presley's gone. Mays is at Utah State. So I think it has to be McNichols, because there's something from Pro Football Focus. Puts him as like the number two back in the country, like all purpose, only behind Christian McCaffrey at Stanford.
That's not bad.
That might be more pro, like I was at the NFL. He also missed a game last year, had 20 touchdowns and missed the Utah State game.
Mm-hmm.
And then part of it, he is a receiver as well. I know Brian Hill does that as well, but he had 6 receiving touchdowns and 460 yards in the passing game. And in three games, he had 2 or less receptions and missed a game. And so if I'm going to pick a guy, it'd be him, but I can't argue what Brian Hill can do for his 200 plus yard games he'll have and has had. Those two are fine, but McNichols is the only guy I'd make a case where consider him heavily to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you were going to, change the if you were going to add another running back or, change the configuration, because it's kind of the, one quarterback, 2 receivers, 2 running backs and stuff like that. I think if you were going to add one more guy, it would have to be McNichols, just because of, I know some of it is based off of, past precedents. But I think everybody expects Boise to have the best offense in conference, and that's something of which McNichols is going to be a primary beneficiary.
That's why some people, real quick, not to cut you off, but Jalen Robinette's not in our top 50. I'll give that away now. Not because he's not good, but you have to bring some production to the table to get there. And so that's kind of the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, some of it is based on the numbers, but that's like you said, that's no disrespect to James Butler or Paul Harris or the other running backs who didn't make the cut. It just happens to be an extremely deep group, and McNichols, the way he played last year, that absence really stands out.
Yeah, really quick. Do you want to know where he stands in the wide receiver category in the conference last year in catches?
He had almost as many catches as Devontae Boyd. I know that.
He's 9th in the conference in receptions. He had more receptions than Tyler Irvin and as many touchdowns. Or excuse me, 4 more touchdowns as well. So that it's an omission, but it's hard to, you can't, what Brian, like you said, what Pumphrey, what he can do and what Brian Hill can do, it's hard. Hill's versatile as well. He can catch the ball in the backfield and do things also, but he it's just production, and it's end of the season when we get four guys on there, it'll be interesting, but there's no gripe, but he's the only player I think we could say, well, give it a second look. But even then, I'd still here, this will sound terrible because people think I hate San Diego State, but part of, I don't know, what does Pumphrey do in the rushing passing game? Is he anything particular special?
Well, with that offense, I believe he had, let me look this up real quick.
Let's check it, because it depends what you want on your team. Like receiving, okay, I got it right here. He still caught 28 passes, so he's about halfway there. And he had three games with zero receptions. So I can't, it's just hard. Like, I was going to make an argument, replace him for Pumphrey to do the offense. But if he's like Pumphrey with Boise, he'd probably have the same number, maybe a few more receiving yards and receptions and a few less rushing yards. But I'm fine with what it is. You can nitpick, but I can't replace McNichols with who they have in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's really anybody else that was a huge snub. You know, I think I would have probably made my strongest argument for Ladipo from Air Force. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the secondary, I think, to me, in this conference is another one of those positions, or position groupings, rather, that just happens to be really deep. You know, you can't really argue with any of the guys that went on there. You know, yeah, I think if I were going to replace any one of them, I think reluctantly I would probably replace Damian Baber. But I'm okay with the fact that Baber made it and Ladipo did not.
Yeah, Ladipo. I even put Malik Smith on there a little bit. You even got Devin Sanders from Utah State. And so there's a lot of guys on there. Like Smith, he had three interceptions last year. And he had like 77 tackles and like four for loss. So those, I think, are those probably the two deepest positions, defensive back and running back?
That sounds about right, yeah.
Because it's not linebacker this year.
No, not this year.
No. One player who I think will make a surprise people. Crap, I'm going to forget his name. Who's the guy that played baseball for Boise State? Is it Joe Meridian?
Joe Martorano.
I think he's he should be deserving on this list, but I would seriously watch out for him making first team all conference this year at linebacker. So just,
I will do that.
I'm laying a lot of stake on that, but we'll see. So, all right, we got through that stuff. That's all the good old rankings and stuff and position stuff. So let's get to the good stuff. Craig Thompson. Whew. He was busy talking. So
he had a lot to say.
He did. And this is, this is good stuff too. Like the trib.com over at the Wyoming paper put a lot of good stuff together. Where do you want to start out with this? The expansion stuff, the Twitter games, where do you want to begin with Thompson's comments?
Let's rip the band-aid off and talk expansion.
Oh, okay. I guess we'll have to do that. No, not again. Always.
Always.
I don't think again will come into this place. It's going to be always or continual or never ending. So here's what we know. A couple of things. Thompson. Well, let's backtrack even more. The vote to change the exit fee to the Mountain West was denied, or not denied, but voted against. 6 voted no. 4 voted yes. 2 weren't there. 2 vote. I'm not sure how that works. Can't you just like texting your vote or something? I don't know. But it was a $10 million exit fee they wanted to up it to. Right now, it's kind of complicated, but basically, if a team wants to leave to the Big 12 or any conference, actually, next year they give up all the revenue and pay $5 million. Is that correct? Something like that?
I don't have that number in front of me, but that's
all. I had it all in front of me. Basically, you forfeit revenue and give up money. If they wait till 2018 and give up and give notice by June 30th. So say they give notice June 30th, 2017, they can leave, or basically now until then, they give up their final year of revenue, which is a couple million bucks. And so them joining by 2017, pretty unlikely, but they voted down to increase to 10 million. Oh, here's what it is now. If they were to go now for next year, it's 5 million plus whatever, double your revenue, whatever's greater. They wanted to make it just $10 million.
Yeah.
So that's about the same thing. Because if you're forfeiting revenue, while that hurts you, you're not paying anything out. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure I'm sounding coherent here. But Thompson said, or not Thompson, but the president who voted, no, we don't want that, which there's not too much to read into it. People want options, and that's fine. And the penalty right now is pretty stiff as it is. No reason to make it more than what it is. The other thing, Thompson's like, sure, Big 12, come talk to my schools. I don't care. I understand they want to have a better opportunity because our conference is, well, we make $3 million, and good old Iowa State football and Kansas football make $30 million. So I can't complain wanting for teams to upgrade their situation.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the honesty. Yeah. I think, you know, it shows kind of a clear awareness of where the Mountain West stands in the order of things. You know, you're kind of caught between two big power conferences in the Big 12 and the Pac-12, depending on where your school happens to be. So, yeah, that's, I mean, a team like Colorado State is in a nice spot like that.
Yeah, they have their main thing is the, again, it's location, obviously. If we're going to make a network, and people, I'll say it again because people either don't want to hear it, don't care, don't believe it, but just call it the Rutgers effect. They're in Colorado. Denver's a top 20 market. I think they're 17 at the moment. If there's ever a Big 12 network, it goes on to probably a low tier. So if your grandma lives in Denver, Colorado State, and watches HGTV, Bravo, and USA all the time, she's still going to pay for that network $1 a month, 45 cents a month. Mm-hmm. All those millions of people in the state who subscribe to a pay TV will be paying that. So I've said, theoretically, 0.0 rating doesn't matter. You'll still take in your millions of dollars, maybe monthly, in that area. That's the reason why, because it's like I said, Rutgers, Big Ten Network was on a higher tier. They drop it down a tier in New York City area on Cablevision and everything else. A lot more money flows in. So that's the reason why. They're not a disaster in football, obviously. Their women's volleyball team is top-notch. Basketball, they have good coaches, Larry Eustace, Mike Bobo. Women's basketball is pretty good. I think they put out some stat, which is kind of misleading. I think they have the highest winning percentage of the four big sports of any school the past 5 or 6 years in the country. So women's volleyball, basketball schools, and or teams, and football. So they have that going for them, but I don't. Anybody who says they know is lying to you.
Yeah.
it's so true because I'm following this very closely from a BYU perspective for my other job. We had on Brian Davis from the Austin American Statesman day before the big vote came down or teleconference where they made you wait 90 minutes and then they gave you the signal and it would sound like your ham radio or something. He said, as did others, if you tell me, like, personally, like, yes, BYU should be in, but from his sources who tells him, he's like, no, no expansion, no nothing, not going to happen. Well, here's the thing, folks. These guys get their info from the athletic directors. They don't make the decision. It's the presidents. And so what information they're giving them was correct, but not by the decision makers, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so the president saw, hey, ACC, they're going to a linear network, digital next month, or now this month in August. Let's change our game plan and we'll expand. And so I see people on Twitter, hey, remember this from July, whatever. It's like, well, if you listen to the whole interview or hear people talk, everybody was saying this. You had George Schroeder. You had Dennis Dodd. You had probably Joe Shad. Everybody you could think of, Pete Thamel. Nope, not going to expand. 5% chance. And then the presidents, the decision makers are the presidents. Hey, we can make more money. We can help our computer lab, our science, our research, and our athletics teams get a few more dollars. Sure, we'll do that.
Presumably.
But it's scholarship money, something that goes toward not just the unpaid labor there.
Mm-hmm.
But, and so that's, if somebody tells you, the closest thing I believe is Dennis Dodd, because when he tells me there's three people that tell him that, you got to be pretty confident.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, I mean, I feel like I repeat myself every time we talk about this.
Do.
Just because on the one hand, I don't want to talk about it anymore. But on the other hand, it's like so compelling that the Big 12 just chooses to drag its feet on this thing.
Well, look at today.
I mean, you would think
Fox and ESPN are pissed at them.
Yeah.
For wanting to add teams that don't bring value.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of, it's like watching a car accident almost. Because, like, on the one hand, you would think, like, if you were Bob Bowlsby, you could probably choose any team you want, and they would be stoked about being able to have that opportunity to join the big, you know, the Power Five conferences. But the fact that he just can't, like, make a decision at any point as to whether he wants to make a decision is really just kind of exhausting.
Well, the biggest thing is we didn't want to stick to media days, but we got some more stuff on this. But it is exhausting because I read something today from the guys at frogsofwar.com or TCU side of the network. They had a guy chat with the AD, or not AD, but somebody within the athletic department saying there's only six schools that really want expansion, and it's a mixed bag. They're not really sure, but you need eight votes. And you saw last week, University of Texas, you have the governor, lieutenant governor, president of UT saying, we approve Houston. And then it comes out, well, part of it is University of Texas has land near the University of Houston and wants to build a satellite campus there in the Houston Cougars' backyard. And University of Houston's like, sure, you can build that, the 300-plus acres you have. Give us a good word to the Big 12 to add us in there. And so it's like, I get this stuff happens, but it's like, there's always a little bit of something new to come out to make us want to talk more about it. Just enough, right?
Just enough. It's like methadone.
Yeah, exactly. Just enough. Give me a little bit here and there and we'll be good. As for what Thompson is saying about what the league could do, he said they could go beyond 12, but probably going to cap off at 14. And at least five teams have contacted the league. And so let's play the game. Matt, what five teams are there?
Okay, so just to clarify, I believe it was more than one and less than five.
I thought I saw more than at least five.
I thought I saw a recap where at one point he said more than one and less than five, and then he told someone else it was more than one and less than 10.
Okay, how about you just give me a couple and we can decide together, because I think we know the area of where the teams are coming from. And to say there's 10, I don't buy that one bit.
Okay.
Well, let's take turns. Let's alternate. You go first.
Okay. Okay. Rice.
That would be your first. Is that your first choice or just a team you mentioned that contacted them?
That would be one of the teams that I think probably contacted them. Okay, we're going. Because if we're talking.
That's a good point to go for.
I mean, if we're talking about markets, Rice is in Houston. You know, they have a recent history of success on, you know, in the sport that matters, football. You know, they also have, you know, a top-notch baseball program, which maybe matters a little bit less in the grand scheme of things. The only knocks against them is that, you know, you're talking about one of the smaller schools in the FBS.
Smaller school, private school, and like, you know, Stanford, essentially, academically.
Yeah, exactly. And not, you know, a school that really tends to draw, even in that big metro market.
Trust me, they don't draw for squat.
Yeah, nobody cares about Rice.
No, hey,
even though they've been,
honestly,
they've been more successful like within the last decade than they were in like the 100 years.
Here's the truth. Nobody cares about University of Houston. Trust me, nobody cares about them in Houston. So, because, okay, I was there. It's a long time ago, but here's the hierarchy of teams. You have Houston Texans. I haven't been there for a long time, but Dallas Cowboys are up there very well, especially when the Oilers left town. Then it's probably the Rockets, the Astros, University of Texas, Texas A&M, Oklahoma. They got a minor league hockey team, but you get my point. Even University of Houston, the Dynamo, the soccer team is probably above them. Maybe not, but you can get my point. It's a pro town. Then it's Texas A&M. Excuse me. How could I forget them? It's a pro town. UT, A&M, Oklahoma. If you don't have a barbecue that weekend, aren't swimming, then you got University of Houston out there. Or Bodie. I'm not kidding. People don't care about University of Houston in Houston. There'll be peaked interest. Stop. Because like my brother, he went to Texas A&M, lives in Houston. If they're good, cool. They're pretty good. I'll watch them. They don't have a fan base. They are the epicenter, what you call a commuter school. They're in downtown Houston where nobody lives, outside of a few apartments here and there. Right. People don't care. When you get these statistics, Houston, picked out this many top rated games, right? Some, or that was a different game, but there were some statistics. SEC owned Houston. Yeah, 8 of the top 20 games were SEC games. Houston versus whoever in the title game for the American, pretty good, really good ratings in ABC, but nobody cares about them. So when they when the Big 12 wants Houston, it's only because you have Tom Herman there and he's doing well. It's not for ratings for the most part. It's not for some, they're going to be some sleeping giant. They could win back-to-back New Year's Six bowl games and people, it'll just be, oh, cool, Houston's pretty good. Nice. Let me go see what the 45 and 60 Astros are doing right now. Not kidding. Or let's talk about J.J. Watt playing softball or Vince Wilfork in his, have you seen Vince Wilfork wearing his overalls and no shirt? Yeah, don't care about that more than a 12-0 Houston team who could be entering the college football playoff.
That would not stop Rice from
trying. I'm just saying, but I'm trying to paint a picture here.
So then what is your first,
Oh, it's UTEP and it's not even close. They probably call Craig Thompson on a weekly basis. Well, it's pretty obvious, I think. They have history. They were in the league with most of these teams, with San Diego State, New Mexico, specifically New Mexico. That rival, like, we're in the WAC days playing basketball. You were lucky to go 1-1 playing at the Pit and playing at UTEP. Mostly the Pit, mm-hmm. but still. But they've been in the league. Colorado State, Wyoming, they have history, and they got squeezed out back when the Mountain West was formed in favor of UNLV because UTEP was on some sort of probation. But they're number two, and they make the most sense geographically. Tradition. Don't buy Texas footprint because they're basically in Mexico and New Mexico. But they'd be my first choice, and probably a team who would, especially look at the Conference USA TV deal. They're making $3 million per year per the whole league. Not per team, the whole league. And they're on BN Sports and stuff. And so they would be highly motivated to be in contact to get that spot if it opens up.
Okay, that's fair. So then if we're going in order, then I guess it's my turn. So then I think the next team, another team probably contacted Thompson at some point, is Texas San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if we're talking about markets, San Antonio is a pretty big one. I don't have the numbers in front of me at the moment, but I mean, you're talking about a program that's gone from startup to respectable within like 5 years. And I think that's the kind of thing where, you know, especially if they take a step forward in the next year or two as this shuffle is ongoing, you know, if they time their progress just right, they could find themselves in a pretty good situation.
They could. Right now they have, last spring of 2016, 22,000 undergrad, 26,000 total students. Pretty big school. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they'd be a good fit. If you bring them or Rice, I think next step would be Texas State, I guess. And this is also teams who contacted, because University of Houston is not contacting the Mountain West at this point. Tulsa is not. They are not.
I mean, it's nice to dream on the fact that, you know, somebody from the American might be more interested in being in the Mountain West, but I don't understand why any of those teams would be willing to make a lateral move, unless it's to save on travel costs, which I think in that case, and it's probably not, you know, if Tulsa has to fly east to play Navy every year, you know, is that really that much different than if they're in the Mountain West and they have to travel to like San Diego or Boise
once
a year? Yeah, the difference there is kind of negligible. That, and they're probably making a little more money in the American than they would
make here.
Part
of it, that money's going to dry up because they got all that, $20 million from West Virginia, all the exit fees. So that money's pretty much gone, I think, now, or will be. But I think American schools will contact if, let's just say, the Big 12, we don't need to go down the rabbit hole, but like, say it is Cincy, Houston, and UConn, and BYU or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Mountain West, this is a weak league. Then I could see getting Houston, Tulsa, or SMU, something like that. There would be interest, I think. Are there any other teams? Like, you said five. Like, is there any Sun Belt teams that want to make that move? you think?
I was looking over the Sun Belt list, and I mean, we know Idaho's dropping down. We know New Mexico State's kind of in the wilderness at this point.
Texas State.
You know, you mentioned Texas State, which yeah, it's fine. You know, one thing I think about, and I wonder if the Mountain West would ever be willing to do it, you know, is to make that whack move and stretch all the way out to Louisiana.
Lafayette has potential. Lafayette has potential.
Because I want not only Lafayette, but, you know, Louisiana Tech.
Them too, yes.
Is a team that's been, you know, pretty solid over the last few years. The only problem with that is you're not gaining any kind of big market with any of those teams. There's
some decent recruiting out there in Louisiana. But Lafayette Tech, they're in the whack when they were going to Moscow every year, going to Las Cruces every year. So I think the other teams we'd mention, maybe Eastern Washington. That's probably the only FCS team that has the chance to want to move up. Portland State, maybe. I'm just kind of thinking if he says maybe upwards of 10 teams, those are probably the couple. And then Wichita State.
Wichita.
The Shocker. So the last time we checked in with them, they were kind of, everybody's kind of denying everything. But we do know they did a football feasibility study. And if they get a football program started that basically today, they'll be up and going by 2020, about the time a new contract would be in place for the Mountain West. So that is an option. But Craig Thompson said, he didn't say it's the, right now it's a guy, it's, you have to have football. Technically, to be full member of football, men's and women's basketball, women's volleyball as well. He calls it important for to have a football team, or Wichita State specifically to have a football team. I would say, we don't need to go into too much of this, but football, if they have football and they need a team, maybe them and I would say North Dakota State, but I don't like their media policies now, even though they say they're kind of normal. I just want to say, screw you. Do something else if they have interest. It's part of it is true what most schools do, but some of it is you're a freaking FCS school. So
it's Drake. Drake,
yeah, that is exactly what it is. While it is accurate what other schools do, like you need certain requests between certain hours of the day, but saying whatever, you can't stream their press conference or cover it, or basically that, or like EPL teams or the Sierra A League in Italy, Italian leagues, where it's like, we'll have our own team. Like, oh, here's the best example today happened. I know we're going deep here, but I'm not sure if you heard about this, but who was it? Somebody from the Seattle Seahawks, NFL training camps are going on. I don't think it was Bobby Wagner, former Aggie, but somebody on the team was talking about Cam Newton, and apparently they scrubbed out video and audio from the official team website and from the transcript, him talking about Cam Newton from the Panthers. About some, I don't recall exactly what it was. I looked at Pro Football Talk. You can find it. I think the guy who covers the Seahawks for ESPN.com had the quotes there. But you would have never known. My internet glitched up because I watched a video and it kind of just skips over. I'm like, okay, that could happen. Video's finicky. My internet's weird. But you would never have known. And that stuff can happen if you're restricting access to everything. So, all right. So we got to move on. This is a long show here. Do you care about games on Twitter? Does that entice you or want you to watch Mountain West football more? Or
I live my life on Twitter. Absolutely.
Here's who they have. We don't need to get into what, like, all the I think it's a good idea. NFL's doing it. Wimbledon did it. NBA's doing some stuff on it. The games, I don't care about the games. It's Weber State at Utah State. Mostly FCS games outside of Buffalo at Nevada. And Tulsa at Fresno is interesting. That's just kind of where it got bumped off CBS. But these are all games that are streamed on the Mountain Network, which you can get anyways. I want to see. Yeah. Do you ever watch NBC Sunday Night Football online? Or Notre Dame football online?
I've tried, but I gave up because the video quality was super
poor. That's an issue. I was lucky enough. I don't do it a lot, but like when the Cowboys are playing, I'll watch them, or the Texans, put them on. They do a good job. This is kind of what I envision it should be. Good quality, of course, number one. Because if you have buffering issues, it's never going to work. People are going to just say, forget it. But they'll have different I don't know if Twitter will do this, but because they're taking the feed from whoever they're doing. That's all they're doing. But in NBC, you can do the All-22 cam, the Skywire cam, coaches cam. They'll have chats on the side with, like, Mike Florio, all the guys, Michelle Tafoya, whoever's on the doing the work there, Collinsworth and Bob Costas, whoever's on there, here's a chat, here's stats rolling along the game, here's this, this, and this feature throughout the game. That's what the Twitter would like to be. Like, I saw the Wimbledon feed, but I didn't get into it. I'm thinking that's the best way for the best experience, because people are like, or I think not that people are dumb, but people are dumb. Like, I don't want a second screen. This wouldn't be a second screen. This would be your screen with other stuff around it that you already want anyways.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting to think about, you know, because you're talking about, I'm assuming that's what the display looks like on laptops. Yes. Right. Does it look the same on like mobile platforms? Because that to me is really what this move is all about. You know, is just trying to reach more people,
even
in
for 5 minutes
places.
At a time.
Yeah, besides just having them be, you know, glued to a television screen or a laptop screen or anything like that.
I'm wondering if, because I didn't get to use the Wimbledon feed or anything, I'm betting, because if you're on Twitter now, it depends on the platform. I use Plume on my phone because I like it quite a bit. I don't like the Twitter app, but I'm wondering, because if you, the features have to be workable at every screen. That's the point. But I'm guessing, like, I'm on Twitter now. I clicked on American Ninja Warrior video on a tweet. It pulls up and plays right for me. I'm assuming that's the experience you want on mobile. And I don't know beyond that what they would do. How do you make a ticker or other tweets about the game fit in on a mobile device? But that's just something we should see, because that you do bring up a very good point about that. If I'm on my tablet or my phone and watching because, oh, my kid's in the bathroom, my wife's shopping, or I'm sitting here for 10 minutes. It's like those old Watch ESPN commercials where they're walking around clueless watching something on their phone while they're shopping or something. So that's a good point, how they'll do it mobile. But I'm betting it's more video mobile than online, or on computer-wise, it's more interactive.
I would assume so. It's going to be interesting to see, especially, you know, because we're talking about media days. You know, the Mountain West has already attempted to kind of make strides in that regard. You know, when they first announced the all conference teams that we were talking about earlier, when they announced the order of finish that the media came out with, they did all of that on a Facebook video. And so, you know, now they're taking, you know, live action to, you know, new platforms. It's kind of exciting because nobody else
is. And they've been at the forefront as well, like last couple of years. Like, they are on Snapchat, I think, like 2 years ago doing stuff. So,
yeah.
That's a good point as well, if games will be on Facebook Live, but it doesn't help monetarily the league yet, because it's just campus insiders streaming the feed. And so there is some talk about less night games, whatever. It's going to be what it is, because they're not going to play at 10 a.m. Mountain Time or 9 a.m. Pacific Time for those noon kickoffs. There's something I didn't really find, but I know I saw something about. Wasn't there something where a TV deal or Boise, they get rid of the bonus structure? Or, well, they don't get rid of it, but they still have it in place. But instead of giving it to, say, San Diego State or UNLV, they take the bonus structure and divide it by 10. So, because Hawaii has their own deal and Boise has their deal. Did you see something about that?
I know.
I don't want to sound like too uneducated because a lot of stuff coming out, but I saw something about that, and then possibly just giving Boise State their own deal, but still like kind of along the same lines where they have a bonus structure divided amongst everybody but Boise and Hawaii.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. Boise brings in, you know, the big games.
Yeah, they already have the deal itself, which, whatever, it happens. That's why they stayed. But I don't know what the details are. I should have looked more into it, but I didn't have time today. But I saw something where a new TV deal or restructured, and it basically is everybody more money, because there's teams, like I think Nevada, 1 year didn't get any bonus money. And then also it's unfair if you're in the Mountain Division, because you always play Boise State every year. And so, with three of their games are guaranteed ESPN2 or higher, that's going to happen. So I saw that. I don't want to talk too much more of it, because I don't want to think I was just making stuff up. I know I did see that right there, but that would be an interesting. I don't know. I think that would be something interesting, and maybe I think the bonus structure should be divided evenly. I think it's more fair, because you don't want uneven revenue. Look what happened last time with Texas when they almost bolted for the Pac-10 or Pac-12 now. That was a big reason. So if it can be more even, I think that's okay. Do we need to talk about player stuff, or we've talked for quite a while? Is there anything else we need to add, or should we wrap this up? We're already at 50 minutes here.
Your call.
Okay, let's appreciate that. Thank you for putting it back on me. You want to talk about your? Well, here's one thing I want to talk about. It's kind of interesting. I know it's Boise State, so people can kick us, but this could be a big deal because Dylan Summer Gardner and Chancellor James. Summer Gardner didn't go to the Poinsettia Bowl. Not that they needed him or anything, but and would they crush NIU? But he. His status is up in the air, as is Chancellor James, who missed a spring game. Two DBs. Harsin was vague, basically saying right now it's still in that same mode as we talked about the spring. We still have summer to finish up, fall camp, and then we'll reevaluate. They play Louisiana. I can never say ULL. So I'll go Louisiana Lafayette, game one, on the road. They should win no matter what. But you know who they wait? Do you know who they play week two? Yes, that could be an issue if it does go to that. It may not and probably will not. Just something to keep your eye on about this. And, oh, wait, we can't. Wait, hold on. We were about to end without talking about Nick Rolovich again. How does this happen?
I don't know.
Did we have any idea he was this type of guy at Nevada? Any idea?
I had never followed him. So
I only followed it because I saw some retweets. I think I follow fake Coach Harsin on Twitter. And I'm like, hey, what's this? Nick Rolovich. Or no, who was it? I forget what it was. But he's putting stuff out there like catching Craig Thompson in Pokemon Go, hiding out in the equipment closet. Or this one, basically saying, time for a vacation out of Idaho, my friend, with fake Coach Harsin with the slot machine. And then having a gif of the, what's the movie? Step Brothers? With John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell going, did we just become best friends? Having that Rolovich tweeting that out, and then he's just hilarious doing all sorts of things on there. It's awesome. That's all he's like. He has everything on there. What he does, he hides out. He puts jokes about itching powder on the uniforms and stuff. If Hawaii can't be
challenging Brian Polian, I think, to like the marshmallow Jiffy challenge, whatever they were doing at media day.
Puffy bunny or something like that. Yeah, the challenge. Here's the thing: if Hawaii, I apologize, you're probably not going to be good this year. All that good, have a coach who's willing to let loose a little bit, but still have that discipline to get you going on the field. So if you're ever down, Hawaii fans, check out Nick Rolovich's feed. I think that's just safe bet for a little chuckle. Was there anything?
Hawaii will never be boring. I think we can pretty much guarantee that.
Heck, even Grandpa Norm, they weren't that boring. They invented the quinterback. Come on, you got to give them that credit.
Yes.
So that's about it there. And they did have day one of practice. We'll write something about that maybe. Follow Nick Rolovich. That's all I got to say. And then, let's see, there's something else we wanted to discuss. Oh yeah, your helmet idea. What's up? Did you like the Reno helmets?
I did like the Reno helmets.
Should we say Reno, Nevada Reno, the state school? I don't know. What's the official name? People care.
Didn't this helmet say Reno? Isn't that why we're saying the Reno helmet?
So what do you?
And that's what I'm saying. That's totally rad. And especially as a Fresno State fan, I'm still fond of the old kind of classic look with the the Bulldogs cursive script. So, the alternate hat that Nevada ran out there on media days was kind of after my own heart. But it got me to thinking about, some of the looks that I guess that they were showing off at media days because they had all the different helmets there.
What's up with look at the link you put in there from the Reno Gazette Journal. How come Chris Murray doesn't have the script? He has the Matt Wolfpack helmet. Disappointing.
Well, I don't know.
Disappointing.
But I think the Reno helmet was on Rolovich's timeline.
Did you? What's your favorite helmet? Mine would be the Aztec helmet they have out there with it's the kind of the Aztec calendar on there. I think that one's pretty nice.
That one is pretty cool, I will admit. The other one that I'm fond of, it's not in this particular slideshow, but it's the alternate helmet that New Mexico wears sometimes. with the I'm trying to remember what it is. It's the thing that they have on their state flag, the star looking thing.
Where they fill in the logo with the star or something? Or with the
No, it's just like whatever.
Oh, the helmet on whatever it's called. Wait, the sticker on the back of the helmet of the state flag?
Yeah, the cross. Why I forget. I had the tab earlier where it was whatever it was called, and I cannot find it.
Do you think
it's usually when they it's usually when they break out like the really funky looking, cool looking teal and red uniforms?
Why don't they come out with a teal helmet? Because I actually liked the turquoise, because it's kind of for the name.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, turquoise. The Native American with their location. I think that would be. Would you think that'd be a good idea? A turquoise helmet for the Lobos, like all turquoise, yes, but still keep the logo as is now. The dark black silver cherry, or not cherry, but the silver. Keep the logo as it is, but put the teal around it.
It's okay. It's the red sun's symbol of the Zia sun.
I gotta look this up right now. I'm typing that in. Let's see here. This is very exciting.
Go to Wikipedia. It's the, I guess, the indigenous people of New Mexico.
Okay, I got it right here. Well, that's why they do for basketball the teal. Oh, that one. Okay. Oh, yes, that would be. Why don't they do that with the teal around it?
That is an excellent question.
Talk to some people there. Oh, they actually. If you go, I'm on the Lobos page. I know this is going way off topic, but. They had the teal. I guess they've worn the teal jerseys a long time. This is back in, how long ago this photo is? BYU guy tackling. This guy has like pre 1980s equipment. It looks like teal jerseys with that helmet. So there's a precedent to get close to that. We need to do a helmet ranking to get at some point.
We need someone.
Where's Chris? Can we get him back? Maybe. We'll talk to him. We'll have him on later for our make a preview show.
I'll just say this overall. As long as nothing is chrome, I'm pretty much okay what with about, it. Don't wear
especially
chrome.
Not silver chrome. or a
never
mirror, you should say.
Chrome, no.
Oregon.
No.
I think we're okay. Well, one last thing about the expansion real quick. UCF, if you go to our good buddy Parker Robertson's timeline, what is his Twitter thing here? Parker Rob. Yeah, go to Parker Rob 78. I retweeted it as well, but check that out. The UCF is a very fancy Photoshop job of, let me see, I got up right here now. Home sweet home with the Big 12 logo underneath the home with the O, the first O being put in by the, what are they, the Golden Knights? Or are they just the Knights? UCF logo.
I believe they're
their logo over the O. So check that out if you want to make fun. And then there's also one last thing. My good buddy Kevin McGuire from College Football Talk. He does a smart thing here. Doesn't tweet the link to it because why give them credit? Front page of Philly.com of the Temple section. Temple, and I find this hilarious, Temple willing to talk Big 12 about expansion.
Well, you know, it's more realistic than East Carolina joining the Big 12.
East Carolina's at least won some games.
That's true, but so is Temple in recent years. I think we're veering dangerously close to becoming the American football podcast.
Willing. Why would it be willing? Wouldn't it be Temple's excited to talk to Big 12? Temple eager, not willing? Like, oh, I guess I'll do it. I'm doing you a favor, Big 12. I'm willing to talk to you about this.
That Philadelphia market, though.
They're like Houston market. They don't have the pro team. They don't care. But good point. I just found that. No, you're correct, because here's the funniest argument. This probably tops anything about expansion. This guy, we got into a fun argument after kind of being a little bit serious. Why not Temple? I'm not hearing nothing about Temple, this guy says. They had the number one rated game on ABC last year. Matt, can you...
Oh, you mean the one?
Yes. No, they played Notre Dame. Well, come on. You're playing Notre Dame. It's not because of Temple. Yes, Temple is good. You probably got 50,000 more people or whatever to watch that game, perhaps. But no, you played freaking Notre Dame. All right, so let's round out with some Mountain West. Do we need to anything particular we should mention about the conference we actually talk about?
No, just the fact that by the time this podcast comes out, fall camp is here.
It's actually already
pretty much. I believe it's already started in
Boise, I think, as well.
I know that there's a press conference here in town on Wednesday morning, and then fall camp starts on Thursday. It's getting real.
It's real. Let me ask you this question, because our next couple of shows have already been recorded. By the next time we do our big mega preview show, will there be, I know this is a dumb question, solidified news about the Mountain West losing a team to another conference?
If I have to make a prediction right now, I think there will be, yes. I think we'll know what's happening.
That would be, because today's August 1st. This will probably be up August 2nd. We have two more preview shows to go. We have Boise State and Wyoming. So this would be August 22nd, the week of the Hawaii-Cal game. You think we'll know that soon?
I think if we don't, I'm going to write Bob Bowlesby a very sternly worded letter.
Make sure it's a certified letter so you know he has to sign for it. So he knows that he got it.
Yes.
So that's a good place to stop as anywhere else. So we have preview stuff. We have more. There's so much at Media Day. We still have about three or four more articles that are coming out this week. So check out for that. We'll have more.
Plus the
countdown.
Plus the top 50.
Right?
Yes. Which is ongoing, we swear.
Is that going on still?
it should be.
It's chugging along. We're getting there. After a mathematical error that sent me back another day, I am full steam ahead to get at least two. There'll be about two players a day. We are 50 and 49, and probably by the time you hear this, hopefully 45 will be in there as well. Check that out. And then that's all we got. We want to get to 3,000 Facebook likes. Let me ask you this. If you listened to the end of the show, would you guys want us to do some sort of mailbag, maybe? We could do a video and see my ugly face on video, maybe. Or you could do it for me. Or you could take questions, Matt, if you'd like. Let us know if you want us to do a video chat of some sort. We've tried to do a mailbag before, but apparently nobody likes to email us or tweet us. Well, let's rephrase that. Nobody asks us questions because they probably don't take us seriously. But should we make a hashtag now to see if people bring it up to us? Should we do?
Yes, we should.
What do you think we should do? MW bag? MW mailbag? What should we do here?
We can start with MW.
This is literally
mailbag.
Off the cuff. We did not discuss this at all. I'm just thinking of stuff right now. So you want to do MW mailbag with a question? Do that hashtag, yes. MW mailbag. We'll put it in the show here. So if those who don't, we know how many people stop listening, and it's kind of sad. So I hope you make it to the end here and listen to the entire thing. But if you get to that, we'll do some sort of weekly question to kind of spice things up a little bit to get more people involved. But that's our show for tonight. Our website, again, MWC Connection. Facebook, we're at, what, 2750? Is that about right? We're getting there.
2733.
Yes, tell your friends. Share our work, even if you don't like it. Yes.
Tell your family. They don't even have to prioritize it on their Facebook feeds anymore because they're trying to get more new friends than their friends anyway. So it's not really going to hurt them if they like the page, right?
Tell them to like the page, but I think there's a spot where you could unfollow the page. That's fine. I don't care.
Yes.
Do that. Better. It's, we'll see how that works out. But yeah, football is finally here. We can actually see football. Oh, really quick. This is the last thing. Did you like that Hawaii football video about the ladies' clinic?
That was awesome.
It's on our Twitter feed, but it's on our website as well. It's a... Go to the Hawaii section or the football section. There's this there's all the ladies' camps. Just don't pull a Texas A&M. That's all we ask of you coaches. Keep it cool. But this lady, they do skill. Usually it's like chalk talk, maybe catch a couple passes. This lady does a full-out dive to take out a dummy. Just lays out like Superman. If you're having a rough day, go watch that and you'll laugh. So go check that out and just have a good time with that. And Hawaii does need some defenders, so maybe. But that's our show for tonight. We'll see you next time, where we will be talking about the Wyoming Cowboys next week, and we'll be going probably twice a week pretty soon once the season starts. So, yeah, we will. Again, let's just reiterate, we're biased against your team, and since the season is here, we have to stick to that.